The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, week 16 is wrapping up and shit is getting crazy right now in the NFL. Playoffs are starting to come into shape, and some teams are falling fast out of the playoff hunt and some are rising up. We had some very interesting games this weekend, so let's get started with the Saturday games. The majority of the NFL this week was played on Saturday. So let's get started with the Buffalo Bills at the Chicago Bears. Went exactly as expected. The Bills just dominated the Bears 35-13. Josh Allen had a pretty solid game. He went 15 for 26, 172 yards and two touchdowns. But it was really all about Devin Singletary. The Bills ground attack really has been mostly Josh Allen, which you just don't ever want your running or your quarterback to be the leading rusher on your team. It's okay to have them to rush, but you always want to have a pretty solid running back there. But Singletary had his best game of the season. He had 12 carries, 106 yards, and one touchdown. So he's getting hot at the right time. He's actually been turning it on the last about month. He's been getting hotter and hotter. And so right now, this is the perfect time to be getting it going on the ground, just because playoffs are rolling around, and now the Bills are starting to look like a very well-rounded team at this current point in time. Bears, you know, they're a 3-12 team, and I've continued to say about them, they just need to start building around Justin Fields. So hopefully they use their top draft pick as some type of offensive weapon for him, whether it be a lineman to help protect him or get him some weapons on the outside, or hell, even at the ground. They need a lot of help in Chicago, but so it looks like they're going to be primed for a nice little draft pick there. Then the New Orleans Saints were at the Cleveland Browns. This also went as expected, although I picked the Browns to win it 17-10. Turns out the Saints ended up winning 17-10. I mean, both of these teams are pretty awful. Deshaun Kutson continues to just suck out loud. He did end up running for a touchdown, but it was kind of hilarious to see on the last drive of the game. The Browns actually had a chance to tie up the game. And he's running around on the fourth down, and he ends up getting sacked. And he went 15 for 31, 135 yards, and one interception. So those are awful, awful numbers from him as well. So that's pretty hilarious to see. But, I mean, it was a pretty quiet game overall from both teams. It's really just the Saints ended up getting those. Their defense played really strong that day. So, I mean, that I feel like that was really just the main reason why the Saints ended up getting the win. Also, Alvin Kamara, he finally had a pretty solid game as well. So the Saints got a good win, 17-10. Then the Seattle Seahawks were at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs dominated this game from start to finish. They ended up getting the win 24-10. Patrick Mahomes had this crazy rushing touchdown where he just barely got, he was running and just barely got the ball in. He was basically just holding himself up on one hand and just boop, hit the pylon right in the end zone, and scored one of his three touchdowns that day. Mahomes went 16 for 28, 224 yards and two touchdowns, plus the one rushing touchdown. So then Travis Kelce also had a great day, six receptions, 113 yards. But I just kind of feel like Patrick Mahomes, if there were any questions of him being the MVP this season, dude continues to dominate, and dude continues to prove that, yes, he is the motherfucking MVP of this season. That's for damn sure. Then the New York Giants were at the Minnesota Vikings. This was a crazy close game. Giants actually played pretty well. I'd say this was probably their best game, even though they lost. The Vikings did get the win 27-24. I mean, overall, Daniel Jones, he had a pretty solid day. He went 30 for 42, 334 yards and a touchdown. Saquon Barkley had a very solid day, 14 carries, 84 yards and a touchdown. But the Vikings had Justin Jefferson, who made some big-ass plays. He had 12 receptions, 133 yards, and one touchdown. But the big aspect of this game was actually the walk-off 61-yard kick, field goal kick from the Minnesota Vikings to go on and get this huge win, 27-24. They move up to 12-3. Having a very solid season, too. They actually, you know, this game was a battle back and forth. I mean, it looked like the Vikings were going to come out strong and just run away with it. But the Giants, they actually had the lead at numerous points in this game. It went back and forth. And honestly, it could have gone the other way. I mean, the Giants actually had this was probably their best game of the season, even though they lost. I still think it was a good game from them. But Vikings were able to overcome. And they were able to get the big win, 27-24. Then the Cincinnati Bengals were at the New England Patriots. The Bengals barely held on, 22-18. It was actually a pretty okay day from the Patriots. You know, the first half from the Bengals was just an absolute runaway. It was that was when they scored all their points. They scored all 22 points in the first half. They were just really lucky that the New England Patriots are just awful this season. They did get this really weird, awesome touchdown to pull within, to score 18 and, pull within as close as they did, where it was just, Mac Jones just tossed up a prayer. One of the New England Patriots receivers kind of tipped it down into the receiver in front of him, his hands, and, the New England Patriots receiver just ended up running it in for a touchdown. But then when the Patriots were actually on a run, they easily could have won this game. But unfortunately, Ramondre Stevenson was a part of yet another folly this week where he had the ball and the Bengals defense just punched the ball out and they were able to recover the fumble. And that was essentially how the Bengals were able to hold on to this one. Joe Burrow had yet another phenomenal game. He went 40 for 52, 375 yards and three touchdowns. He also did have two interceptions, which were those were pretty much the costly aspects of that game for the Bengals. But I mean, overall, they are on a tear right now. Joe Mixon had 16 carries, 65 yards. T. Higgins had a big day, eight receptions, 128 yards and one touchdown. So big win from the Bengals, even though the Patriots did have a little bit of fight in them in this one. They just had yet another bad game, and they are falling further and further out of playoff contention. So looks like it's possible we may not see the Patriots in the playoffs yet again this year. Then the Detroit Lions were at the Carolina Panthers, and damn, the Carolina Panthers put on a clinic in this one. They just dominated this one from start to finish. They had 17 points in the second quarter alone. They did end up getting the win 37-23. Lions did try and make a little comeback at the end, but it was too little too late. And this ground attack from the Carolina Panthers is just something else. Deontay Foreman had 21 carries, 165 yards, and one touchdown. So dude went off. They just really had a solid game, and they just really were able to overtake the Lions. Lions really aren't that good in outdoor games. And while everybody's been feeling the Lions lately, it's just that's kind of why you can't really believe in the Lions, because then they go and play the Panthers and they got smoked. It wasn't even close at all. Jared Goff, he still had a very solid game, 25 for 42, 355 yards and three touchdowns. But, you know, it just wasn't enough, and the Panthers just really dominated on defense, too. They were able to get some big turnovers, and as I continue to say, man, I feel like Wilkes needs a good shot at coach. I mean, if I'm the Panthers, I'm signing that dude, or at least giving him a good look as the coach, because I know Sean Payton's out there, and he's the hot commodity for everybody. But you take a look at Wilkes and what this dude has done in just half a season. You got to wonder what would happen if he's able to actually get players he wants, pick the coaching staff he wants. I mean, they actually do, you know, with Deontay Foreman, they've got some good, unfortunately, J.C. Horn, it looks like he fractured his wrist in this win, so he's probably going to miss the rest of the season. But I mean, they've got a really solid secondary, they've got a pretty good front seven, so I kind of feel like they're just like a couple of pieces away from being a really good team, and I personally want to see Wilkes get the opportunity to build this team. just because of what he has done in this ever since he's taken over. The dude takes no shit, and this team really shows that they have a lot of heart. And if they're able to get some pieces, I kind of feel like Wilkes is going to be a really good coach for them. So we'll see what happens. But I feel like the Carolina Panthers really, 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 really need to give Wilkes a shot this season as their coach. Then the Atlanta Falcons were at the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to keep it real with you. I don't really know what happened in this game. The Ravens did win 17-9, but I haven't even really seen any highlights of this game. It probably just was a pretty boring-ass game for both teams. As you could tell, I mean, it wasn't that high scoring, and there were only nine points combined between both of the teams in the second half. So it looks like it was just more of a defensive game from the Baltimore Ravens, which continues to get better as the season rolls on. But offensively, they are very, very quiet. And other than their ground attack, Gus Edwards had 11 carries, 99 yards. But I mean, real talk, this Ravens team not looking that hot, and they really need to get Lamar Jackson back soon. Then the Houston Texans were at the Tennessee Titans, and the Texans were able to finally get their second win of the season. I mean, for the most part, the Titans actually had the lead in this game. It's just you could tell, as I said, I've been saying all season long, offensively, they're not that great beyond Derrick Henry, who had a really good game. 23 carries, 126 yards, and one touchdown. So that's a very solid game from Derrick Henry. You should be winning games like that. Unfortunately, their offense, other than that, I mean, Malik Willis is just not looking good at all. Dude had two interceptions and one really big interception to basically end the game. And then the Texans, they're just a team who plays really hard against everybody they've played pretty much all season long. They're just not, they just don't have the talent. So, but they were able to beat the Titans 19-14, which is just crazy, because now the Titans no longer are the leaders in their division, because the Jaguars got the win on Thursday night, and now the Jaguars have the AFC South title right now. So the Titans are slowly losing grip of even possibly winning this division, and they just lost to the Texans. So in my opinion, they don't really deserve to win their division, even though the Jaguars also lost to the Texans this season. Then turning to the afternoon games, the Washington Commanders were at the San Francisco 49ers, and the Niners did what the Niners do. They just absolutely dominated the Commanders. They won 37-20. This defense, Bosa got two more sacks in this one. He's starting to actually pull away with that Defensive Player of the Year award. Kind of feels like just because, I mean, he's just getting better with each and every game, so it's getting more difficult to create any more arguments against him. You know, Micah Parsons, dude's been having a phenomenal season as well, but Joey Bosa is, he's just killing it right now, and he really hasn't let up. So, but I mean, defensively, they're killing it, but also offensively, they just had a very efficient game. Brock Purdy went 15-22, 234 yards and two touchdowns. George Kittle had yet another big game, six receptions, 120 yards and two touchdowns. Then also Ray McCloud, he on the ground had a big 71-yard run for one touchdown. So they're just getting it done in many different ways, as the Niners do. And then the Commanders, now they are back to we don't know what the fuck we're doing at quarterback situation, which is they're headed into the playoffs potentially. You know, there's now 2 weeks left in the season, and they're hanging on for dear life in the wild card round. And now it's looking like, because Heinicke, he got benched for Wentz in this game. And that's actually what I've been saying about Washington all season long, is that, like, Heinicke is not that good. Yeah, he's got a little bit of spark to him, but he kind of reminds me of Baker Mayfield, where it's like he's just a mediocre quarterback who has spark on occasions. And, you know, Wentz, not that good either, but I think Wentz is just an overall better athlete. I could just kind of tell that the team doesn't really care much for him, and they don't really rally around him too much. So I kind of feel like that's the issue. But I mean, Ron Rivera, after this game, did not say who he was going to go with in this next game. So, you know, Washington, their season is up in the air right now. So we'll see what happens with them. But they got stomped to the curb by the Niners. Then the other afternoon game was the Philadelphia Eagles at my Dallas Cowboys, and my Cowboys were able to get the big win, 40-34. You know, of course, I think it's amusing because I knew if the Cowboys lost this one, everyone was going to be like, ha, 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 Cowboys lost. They can't ever win the big game. And then when we get the win, it's going to be, oh, that's because Jalen Hurts wasn't playing. Even though Gardner Minshew, he had a good game. He went 24 for 40, 355 yards and two touchdowns. It's just, and really, I mean, the Cowboys defense, they weren't able to get a sack, but they were able to get the big turnovers. They had a couple interceptions, some forced fumbles, and just made some big-ass plays when they needed to make the big plays. But I mean, the Eagles came to play and they had a good game overall from start to finish. But, I really want to give it up to Dak Prescott because as I said on, Friday's show that this needs to be that not only did I think it was going to be a Dak game, but it needed to be a Dak game. I felt like he was going to take all the fucking criticism from the dumb shits from last week. And I felt like he was going to turn it around. And, you know, it started off with him throwing that really stupid interception. And he took all fucking credit for that, too. He said, that was my bad. But he came right the fuck out after that shit, completed 13 passes in a row, and just had a solid-ass game. He had a great fucking game. That third and 30 play to T.Y. Hilton. And T.Y. now stands for Thank You, Hilton. Dude comes in his first fucking game as a Cowboy and makes arguably probably the biggest play of the game for the Cowboys in that game, because you know the first two plays prior to that, stupid fucking sacks, and you know it's third and 30, and I'm thinking to myself, there ain't no way the Cowboys are going to convert on this shit. And Dak actually had plenty of time, and he made this beautiful pass. And I even was thinking to myself, please don't be one of those stupid passes he makes where it like peters out at the end and it gets intercepted. No, it was a perfect, beautiful dime in which T.Y. Hilton, first game as a Cowboy, makes a beautiful play, shows us why we signed the dude, and gets the first down. We end up scoring a touchdown on that to actually take the lead. Or actually tie up the game, then the Cowboys would eventually take the lead and hold on to that lead. Big game from the Cowboys. Big game from CeeDee Lamb, too. He had 10 receptions, 120 yards, and two touchdowns. I know everybody wants to be fucking negative about the Cowboys, but my ass ain't. That was a big win. We could not lose to the Eagles. We have yet to lose two games in a row this season. And this was also the first game where a quarterback, Dak Prescott, threw for over 300 yards on the Eagles' defense this season. And also the first team this season to put up over 40 points on the Eagles' defense, too. So don't act like the Cowboys beat some fucking chump squad. Nah, they beat the best team in the league. Everybody, including myself, has been putting the Eagles up in their top three teams all fucking season long. But of course, you know, everybody's always got to be negative about the Cowboys. But y'all be negative. I'm going to be fucking happy with that win because that was fucking awesome to see. And it was great to see Dak. Because, I mean, really, the ground attack, while Zeke and Pollard had solid games, they were pretty much they were mostly non-factors. This was a Dak game, and it was nice to see Dak take over, have a solid game. Even the defense, they didn't play their best game either. They let the Eagles put 34 points up on them, and I just said Gardner Minshew, their second-string quarterback, put up 355 yards on them. 355 yards, that ain't shit. That's a lot. So yeah, that Dallas defense, even though they had their issues, they were able to step it up when it mattered the most. And that's a big game from the Cowboys. And I don't care what y'all say. I enjoyed myself during that game. And that's a big win from the Cowboys. Big fucking win. And then to end the night, we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as I said, the Steelers were going to do on Friday, I had a feeling it wasn't going to be immaculate reception-like, but I had a feeling it might come down to a last game-winning drive, and that's exactly what the Steelers did. I mean, for the most part, this game was a huge snooze fest. The third quarter was just a comedy of errors where it was like literally a couple of interceptions from each team back and forth. It was like, does anybody want to fucking win this game? But then the Steelers were able to put it together in the fourth quarter, score 10 points, including a game-winning drive from Kenny Pickett in which he would throw the game-winning touchdown to George Pickens, and they would have ultimately win this game 13-10. Kenny Pickett did have a pretty solid game. He went 26 for 39, 244 yards and one touchdown. Najee Harris had a big game, 16 carries, 53 yards, had this huge hurdle over a defender on the game-winning drive because it was pretty hilarious because basically, the only offense that happened in this game was when the Raiders scored in the first quarter and then when the Steelers scored on this last drive. Other than that, it was so awful, and it was just a bad game from both teams. But, I mean, it was the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. You know, Franco Harris had died earlier in the week, so I felt like the Steelers were going to step it up, and they most certainly did. Doesn't really mean anything. Both teams are pretty awful and not really, I mean, they're both in like playoff hunt, but you ask me, these neither one of these teams is sniffing a playoff spot this season. And then turning to Sunday's games, the first game actually was a very good game. Green Bay Packers at the Miami Dolphins. Green Bay managed to hang on and get the win, and everything has gone Green Bay's way this weekend. You know, they got the losses from the teams that they needed to lose. And then they got the win 26-20 in Miami. And Tua Tagovailoa, this dude, he's just getting worse every single week. He had three interceptions yesterday in the fourth quarter, and they were bad. They weren't just like those like tip drill, oh my God, you could blame it on somebody else interceptions. No, these were like straight up to the defender interceptions. They were just bad. So the Dolphins are just nosediving into the ocean as a dolphin would. And the Packers are actually surging right now. You know, I still wouldn't consider them a Super Bowl contender, but I kind of feel like you really got to watch out for this team because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is starting to feel himself, and he's actually starting to make some connections with not only Watson, but Dobbs. Romeo Dobbs is starting to become his guy too. And then, you know, Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, they both have they've really held it down for the Packers. So and the defense is actually starting to step it up as well. So the Packers, while I don't really consider them to be a threat, they could be one of those teams who causes an upset come Wild Card Weekend, or even on the trajectory here to the playoffs. This could be a team that sneaks right in and fucks up somebody's weekend. So look out for the Packers and the Dolphins. You know, I mean, even Jalen Waddle, he had a solid game, 5 receptions, 143 yards and a touchdown. But just really overall, the Dolphins are not looking like a good team. Tua is having some really, really bad turnovers. And those turnovers he had yesterday were game changers and just really helped set the Packers up for this win. Then the horrendous game of the day was the Denver Broncos at the Los Angeles Rams. I don't even call this a game. The Rams won 51-14. And I mean, in the first quarter, they scored 17 points. The second quarter, they scored 14 points. And then in the fourth quarter, they scored 17 points. The Broncos looked like trash. They looked so horrible that today they fired their coach, Nathaniel Hackett. And good riddance, because this team has been awful. They have been the definition of dumpster fucking fire. Talk about bad interceptions. Russell Wilson had some horrendous interceptions yesterday himself. I mean, this was just, I just couldn't believe what I was watching. I'm like, is this like a college game where it's like Alabama versus nobody Magoo State? I mean, it was bad. And so obviously, I mean, we all pretty much expected Nathaniel Hackett to lose his job at the end of the season. And I mean, now there's only two games left, so why the fuck not get rid of him? But that was just a bad, bad all-around game. And their defense was bad, too. I mean, Baker Mayfield had a really good game, 24 for 28, 230 yards and two touchdowns with the Rams. And the Rams are a team that they have nothing to play for, really. Baker Mayfield basically just has his pride to play for. He's really just putting a resume out there for whoever wants to sign him next season. And it's probably not going to be the Rams. I mean, maybe as a backup, but I feel like unless Stafford retires, why the fuck would they even sign Baker Mayfield? And I don't think he wants to be a backup. So I just kind of feel like Mayfield's just putting it out there that, hey, I could still play. I still have it in me. Somebody should want to sign me. Cam Akers also had a great game. This is like the first game all year where the Rams had a really solid ground attack. He had 23 carries, 118 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And the Broncos are just known for having a really solid defense, and they were so bad yesterday. And all I got to say is it was kind of funny because, you know, this offseason – Randy Gregory kind of snubbed the Dallas Cowboys and was kind of talking some shit when he went and signed with the Broncos. And how you feeling now, old boy? Don't you think you, you know, the Broncos right now are 4-11 and the Cowboys are 11-4. How the fuck you feeling with that choice now, dude? Not looking too smart, huh? We're looking pretty fucking good. Our defense is kicking some motherfucking ass and your team just got blown out 51-14. Ah, man, should have stayed with the Cowboys, huh? Anyways, then Sunday Night Football was mostly a snooze fest, too, until the end, of course. It was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Arizona Cardinals. And wow, it was like nobody wanted to win this game. I mean, we went into halftime tied at 6. That's how awful this game was. And then neither team could get shit going until the fourth quarter. They both ended up scoring 10 points in the fourth quarter. And this was a really bad game from Tom Brady. I mean, he threw a couple interceptions that were bad. He was overthrowing so many of his receivers, and it just was a really bad game from him. Now, granted, I will say this, and I've said it all season long, his offensive line is trash. And if you don't have enough time, every quarterback is throwing these type of plays. I mean, are throwing these type of passes. That's just how it is. I mean, it's not like Brady's really lost a step. He still has a cannon of an arm. He still has the quickest draw in the league. I mean, he's the fastest thrower. He throws it faster than everybody in the league, including the young guns. So he still has it. It's not like he's lost a step. It's just that this Buccaneers team is not in sync at all. They have nothing going on, but they were able to put it together. And it's always funny to watch what happens when Tom Brady is about to take his team on a game-winning drive. You can even see, even before the drive starts, once Tom Brady walks out onto the field, you just see the shot on the sideline of the other team, and they look dejected. And it's just because Tom Brady's the GOAT for a fucking reason. And this is why. They go into overtime. The Buccaneers defense, actually, I would say this was probably the Bucs' best game defensively of the year. I mean, their best game was probably week one. Against the Cowboys, and then after that, they've been in such disarray, and then this week, this game, they played really well. Now, granted, they were playing against the third-string quarterback, but I mean, overall, the Cardinals actually do have quite a few weapons, and the Bucs defense really did just clamp down and get the job done yesterday, and it just sucked for them because it's like they would get the job done, and then the offense would come out and have just either a three and out, or they'd turn the ball over. But it's just always funny to see Tom Brady walk out there, and you could see it. The Cardinals already looked like they lost the fucking game because they're like, this is Tom Brady. Homeboy's coming back out to set his team up to get at least in the field goal position, and that's what they did. They were able to put together a really solid drive and get set up in field goal position and walk it off and won 19-16. Tom Brady went 32 for 48, 281 yards, and 1 touchdown. And then when you look at the Cardinals, James Conner actually had a very good game as well at running back, 15 carries, 79 yards, and 1 touchdown. But it was a huge snooze fest for the most part. I was like falling asleep in the third quarter. And then luckily they started to put together some shit in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, all right, some people are finally starting to score. And then of course the game winning drive. But, that was an awful ass game. All right. And then, tonight's Monday night matchup is the Los Angeles Chargers at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. The Chargers are actually playing pretty well right now. I mean, you always hesitate when they are playing well because, I mean, it's the Chargers. They always just tend to just fucking blow up and lose at times they shouldn't. And that could be the possibility tonight. But, I mean, the Colts are just an awful team. And the Chargers kind of feel like they're ready to make this playoff push and try and get that last wild card spot in the AFC. And so I do think the Chargers are going to dominate tonight 35-13, but when it's the Chargers, you just never know. All right, and then moving on to the NBA and my top 10 NBA power rankings this week. we actually do have quite a bit of shakeups. You know, there's some teams on some big winning streaks right now and some teams on some big losing streaks. And then just the usual suspects, of course, make the power rankings this week. But we do have a new number one this week, and that would be the Brooklyn Nets. I honestly never thought at any point this season I'd be putting the Nets at number one. But this team is playing really fucking good right now, and so they got to be at number one. Their overall record right now is 21-12, and they are currently on an 8-game winning streak, which is tied for the longest winning streak in the league right now. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got wins against the Golden State Warriors and the Milwaukee Bucks, so those aren't chump teams either. They're beating really good teams, and really, it's all about Kevin Durant. The dude is having a phenomenal season, and just the cast around him is able to do just enough. I kind of feel like at some point it is going to catch up with them, but right now, Nets are playing great, and they deserve to be ranked at number one this week. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, another team that has shot way up the rankings, that would be the Philadelphia 76ers. Overall record of 20-12, and I told you, you got to watch out for this team. They're currently on an 8-game winning streak themselves, right up there with the Nets. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, which is really the only reason why I put the Nets above them. Because Joel Embiid is dominating just as much as Kevin Durant is right now. Embiid's averaging 33 points per game. They get James Harden back, who's been having, he had a phenomenal week, but he's just been great since he came back. And this past week, they got wins against the Toronto Raptors, the Detroit Pistons, the Clippers, and the Knicks. So they beat some really good teams right there. And this team is getting going and getting going at the right fucking time. Because I feel like, you know, the Celtics, everybody feels like the Celtics are the best team in the East. And don't get me wrong, they are a damn good team. But they, I don't think they have what it takes to match the 76ers or the Bucks in the middle. I don't think they have answers for Giannis or Embiid, even though once I get to the Celtics, yes, I know the Celtics beat the shit out of the Bucks yesterday, but I'm talking in a 7-game series. I don't know if the Celtics can keep up with a healthy Embiid and healthy Giannis in the middle for an entire 7-game series. Obviously, we've got a while until we get to the playoffs. But the 76ers, to me, are just a damn good team. And if they're able to overcome the injuries that are inevitable with this squad, they just look really fucking good. And they should look really fucking good because, I mean, they're stacked. And Embiid is playing out of his mind again. It feels like he's kind of playing pissed off where he's like, I should have been the MVP last year and he didn't get it last year, so he's trying to get it again this year. And it's a stacked card this year. MVP could literally be from Durant to Embiid to Tatum to Ja friggin' Morant to Luka. I mean, there's so many guys right now who are playing Jokic. Wait till I get to freaking Jokic here in a little bit. But I mean, there's so many guys playing great right now that it's kind of hard to talk about MVP, but Embiid is making a huge case right now. And as I continue to say, they have not even got Maxey back from injury. So once they get him back, that's going to be even more points because right now the 76ers are scoring everybody out of the building and playing great defense with Embiid. So I got the 76ers at number two this week. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 21-11. They are on a 4-game winning streak, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Phoenix Suns. All good teams. But as I mentioned, it's Nikola fucking Jokic. This guy, he just had his 83rd career triple-double last night. He went 41-15-15. 41-15-15. He just like did that like a week ago. The guy is just nuts when it comes to every aspect of this team. It feels like he could literally be the entire team and he doesn't need anybody else on the team. It's just nuts. This guy is playing at such an insane level and he could be well on his way to winning yet another freaking MVP. But the Nuggets are on fire this week. As I said, they beat some really damn good teams out west. So Nuggets moved up to three this week. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New Orleans Pelicans, overall record of 20-12. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Bucks, but got wins against the Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they are scoring everybody out of the building as well. They're averaging 118 points per game in the league, and that's second in the league right now behind Boston. And, you know, it's all about Zion. Dude's having a great season. You can't overlook McCollum, who had a 40-point game this week. And then also Larry Nance Jr. He's been crazy on the defensive side of things. And I also just wanted to point out that's another Laker that we lost along the way in this quest to have LeBron James recreate our entire fucking roster. That's another guy, Larry Nance Jr., who's gone on to, play pretty well post-Laker career. So just wanted to point that shit out as well, because he's playing fucking phenomenal for the Pelicans right now. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. Their overall record right now is 20-12. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They actually did have a kind of a down week this week. They lost to the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors, but they did get a big win against the Phoenix Suns. And you know what it is. Ja, 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 ja. Ja, 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 ja. Actually, Ja, I think, talked a little bit too much shit this week in an interview where he was kind of saying the only competition that he feels the Grizzlies have is against the Celtics. He was basically asked point blank, how do you feel, what about the rest of the Western Conference? And he's like, we ain't worried about that. So, kind of funny that they lost to the Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors this week, and they actually got beat pretty bad by the Warriors last night. But Ja's having a great season. He's averaging 26.8 points per game right now. And I'm not really worried about the Grizzlies. I think they're a great team, and they're just having a great season right now. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 24-10. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They lost to the Indiana Pacers this week and got wins against the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Milwaukee Bucks. Big win against the Bucks yesterday. Jason Tatum actually dropped 41 points in yesterday's game and had a nice little posterize on Giannis as well. So it's not like the Bucks are losing these games without Giannis. No, they got beat pretty bad yesterday by the Celtics. And as I said, right now the Celtics do lead the league right now in points per game. They're averaging 119 points per game right now. So they are also just scoring everybody out the building. Tatum's having a phenomenal year. Marcus Smart, he's also having a great season as well. He's just getting shit done in the paint and knocking down the shots when he needs to knock down the shots. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings, falling a little bit, are the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 22-11. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Pelicans, but now they're on a three-game losing streak against the Cavaliers, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Boston Celtics. So just a down week for them. As I mentioned, you know, Giannis has been playing, so it's not like it's some type of injury with him. But it'll happen. You'll have down weeks, and so they'll bounce back at some point, I'm sure. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall record of 22-12. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz and the Milwaukee Bucks. And then they lost to the Toronto Raptors. And, this team's just, they're clicking on all cylinders. Donovan Mitchell, he's just having a phenomenal year. And this team's just been riding high. They've actually been probably one of the most consistent teams all season. It's just, you can't really call them a powerhouse yet or really put them up there with, like, the 76ers and the Celtics, just because, they haven't really proven anything yet and they haven't really dominated as you should dominate. But hey, they're hanging around there and they're looking like a pretty solid team so far. Then at number nine on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Dallas Mavericks, overall record of 18-16. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves, but they did also beat the Timberwolves, the Houston Rockets, and then had an amazing comeback yesterday against my Lakers. They ended up having this huge third quarter push and just absolutely slaughtered the Lakers yesterday. Luka, he's just having a phenomenal season. He had like over 30 points yesterday. I think it was like 31 points he ended up with yesterday. And then Tim Hardaway Jr., he had a great game yesterday. He's been a big help to this team. I still think the Mavericks, they need to do something at the trade deadline. They need a little bit of something else to get this team going and be more believable beyond Luka. Just because they are a good team, but I don't feel like you can really put them up there with the better teams in the Western Conference just yet. I feel like they're missing just like one pretty solid piece to just get it going for them. whether it be on the scoring end. But also, you got to look at this team. They really need help defensively as well, so they might need some type of defender. I don't know who they'd be looking for, but it feels like they're just missing like one last piece, and they'll be like a legit team out in the Western Conference. And then rounding out my top 10 NBA power rankings this week are the New York Knicks, overall record of 18-16. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Golden State Warriors, but they now are on a three-game losing streak against the Toronto Raptors, the Chicago Bulls, and the Philadelphia 76ers. They've been one of the hottest teams in the league the last couple of weeks, but they really cooled off this week. But I didn't feel like it was enough to get them to fall out of the top 10 just because they are still playing really well, and the Eastern Conference isn't as stacked as the Western Conference. So I feel like the Knicks are still a competitive team out in the East. And then the last bit of sports news this week. You'll recall that University of Texas Longhorns college basketball coach was suspended a couple weeks ago. He was arrested for some type of domestic abuse situation at his house. And a little bit more came to light this week. Apparently, his fiance was the one who called the cops on him and initially pressed charges on him or whatever. And she has now recanted her her statements from that night, saying that he didn't strangle her or abuse her or whatever. Regardless of what is the real case in this, because, I mean, honestly, that proves nothing. I mean, there's been many instances where a woman is, or man, anybody in an abusive relationship tends to lie for the other person, especially when they're in a position of power, you know, when they're the basketball coach here in Austin, Texas, for the Longhorns. It's a pretty big deal. When somebody has that type of power, you don't want them to lose their job ultimately. So to me, that doesn't prove anything. It does prove she's a liar, and it also proves that these two are in an absolutely toxic and awful relationship, and it really doesn't change my opinion on this from the jump, because I even said, if she's lying, if this was made up, well, this woman is his fiance. He's choosing to be with this woman and live with this woman. And chances are, a stupid, idiotic, toxic relationship like this, I wouldn't be shocked if this dumb fuck of a couple actually runs off to Vegas this weekend on New Year's, and they have a little New Year's elopement so they can remember and show their love, and then their honeymoon's them beating the shit out of each other or something fucking stupid like that. But honestly, I still wouldn't care if dude lost his job. Right now, Longhorns are actually playing great basketball-wise, so it's not really affecting the team in any way, shape, or form. But I just kind of feel like somebody in a stupid relationship like this, if he doesn't drop the bitch, then you get what you deserve in that realm. And I mean that in both ways. I actually have always felt like this, regardless of what the deal is, because I think people in toxic relationships are just about the stupidest fucking people on earth. And I know I've lost about the majority of you listening to this right now, because I know most of you have been in a toxic relationship and you make up all the excuses in the world as to why it's so fucking great to be in those toxic relationships. But I digress. But anyways, like I personally don't really want somebody like that coaching my team. I mean, who respects that? If you stay with this bitch who supposedly lied about this, you're an idiot. And, if she stays with him and he's actually abusive, well, you're a fucking idiot. So, in my opinion, they're both fucking idiots in a stupid, idiotic, toxic relationship. And as I said, I wouldn't be shocked. They probably will go run off and elope this weekend and be the amazing toxic couple that they are. And, everybody's going to be like, where's our fucking coach? And I'm just going to be sitting here like, oh, I'm glad I don't participate in that stupidity. But yeah, that's the update on that. He still hasn't got his job back. Who the hell knows what the Longhorns are going to do about that. But my opinion remains the same. This is what you get when you put yourself in these stupid, dumbass positions. Regardless of whether you're a man or a woman, if you're in that type of a toxic relationship, I think you're an idiot, and you get what you deserve if you stay with that idiot. So we'll see where that leads. If the Longhorns end up reinstating him, or if they end up kicking him to the curb, because as I said, it really hasn't affected the Longhorns' season so far. They actually still are playing pretty well. But Chris Beard actually is a good coach, so I wouldn't be shocked if he gets his job back by the end of the week or something similar of that nature. But with the wedding ring on hand, like, oh, hooray, we got married to the bitch who fucking lied that I strangled her, or to the bitch that I beat up. Either way, have fun in toxic relationship heaven. On that note, everybody, enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you motherfuckers on Wednesday.